Okay, well, morning everybody. New series. In verse 16 of Psalm 139, King David, all days ordained for me in your book, one of them came to be. What's God's book? And for you, were written in God's book, his glory, before even one of those days came to be. What it is, it's the grand story. It's called the greatest story ever written, and it's written so that we might see God's complete story, as well as seeing how our own story, the one God wrote for each one of us personally, is woven into this bigger story of his. Because this king of the universe has crafted a grand narrative, and he's invited each one of us to play a part. That's the reason we read the Bible, this book we use, this manual. It's really a love letter from God that he might become the logic, the structure, the authority for our lives. So his story is not just as the, I remember the old hymns before, somebody as old as me, but the traditional hymn says, the telling of the old, old story. It's not that, it's the Bible telling of the whole, whole story. Of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love, but in case you missed it, it's also the only story in the whole world which unmasks seven Bible mysteries. Many mysteries unmasked in the Bible, but we're going to look at seven mysteries to reveal God's plan to build an eternal family. And as we come these former mysteries, they can then become tools to understand the exquisite truth of God's master plan through the ages. So today we're starting a new series. Where's the whoop? which will major on this story of God and us, of our history wrapped up within his story, within history, as he builds this eternal family of his. And so the overarching title for the whole series, so we might each fully realize who we are, why we're here, and where we're going, is going to be called Connecting the Dots. Just as King David realized that all the days ordained for him were written before one of them came to be, and that everything which happened to him on his journey was simply preparation for the next role in his life. So my hope for this series is that we also might realize that God has written a personal story for each one of us also. And that our story, it's important enough to intersect his bigger story. Because, you know, there's nothing better than to awaken to that truth, which in his timings, it depends simply and continuously on our yes, Lord. Now, the talk I'm about to give is simply to be an introduction, if you like, an overview, hopefully for us to gain a better understanding of what the whole and upcoming series is going to be about. And so today's message is called The Shadow of Things to Come. The Shadow of Things. Why a shadow? Well, because a shadow, it's not the real thing. If you were simply, for example, to see my shadow, however long it was, you know, it was, and you wanted to find me, what would you do? You'd follow it until it connected with my body. Woo, shock horror. And then you'd say, ah, that's where the real David is. And as such, the whole purpose of this Bible series is to lead us to the real thing. I've got to tell you, he's called Jesus. And that's why the Apostle Paul, if we can get the first scripture up on screen, why the Apostle Paul states clearly in his epistle to the Galatians, I think it's 3 and verse 24, come in the way of this screen, but okay. He says, the law put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Hello, is that better? Any better? A little. That's okay. That's as close as we can get it. Okay. Right. That's better. Okay, I'll speak. I'll do my pop thing. I'll go right, put my tongue in the thing. Okay. Steady, boy. So what we said was that the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And the next verse, have we got that one up? Yeah. In the same way, Hebrews 10 and verse 1 says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. And so God formed almost as a kind of a conduit, if you like, a particular people called the Jews to play his biblical family in this big story, as well as to use this same family to provide a kind of prophetic roadmap of where his story is going to be heading. And to show how our one God, through Christ, as the creator, the director, and the main player in this greatest ever kind of three-part blockbuster of a love story, becomes the substance and the reality foreshadowed by this same biblical earthly people called the Jews. Let's look at what Scripture says about that. It's in Colossians chapter 2. Get that one up. There we have it. Okay, two verses here. It's in the Amplified Version and this particular one. Verse 16 says, let no one judge you in regards to food and drink, or in regard to the observance of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. And then in verse 17, it explains why we're to let no one judge you in regard of these things. It says, such things are only a shadow of what is to come. And they have only symbolic value. But the substance, in other words, the reality of what is foreshadowed, belongs to Christ. Okay, well, each week's message during this series will be in a trilogy form. So in the first part of each message, we'll see specific Old Testament happenings, each one being a shadow of what is to come, as we've just seen in the scripture above. And over the complete series, these will form a sequence, a kind of sequence of progressive events of symbolic value. Then in the second part of each message, we'll see Christ emerge every time as the substance, as the reality, and as the central character. And this is where the dots should eventually begin to start to join dot to dot, and hopefully reveal just one seamless biblical story, past, present, and then future, as the last part of each three-part message reveals the story of God's master plan for this eternal family of his. And you know, even the time span for this family, this eternal family, because of the eternality of who he is, will also play out in three parts. God's very name, Jehovah, bestowed through Moses back in Exodus 3, I think it's verse 14, and formed from four Hebrew letters, Yud, He, Vav, He, builds trilogy-like God's sacred name from its three basic letters. Let's take a look on the screen at the next scripture to understand this. We should be in Revelation, yeah? Revelation, the last book in the Bible, mainly about the end times, and it's given by Christ in a vision to the Apostle John. And he says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was," and then in brackets I've put episode 1, "and is," episode 2, "and is to come," episode 3. And here in these three episodes, we have the whole of history. We've got Old Testament, or the Hebrew Scriptures, which was. We've got the New Testament, which is. And then that which is to come, that God's story might be fully completed to the unveiling of his master plan through the ages as all the kind of jigsaw puzzles fall into place. So in the same way, God is revealing how the blueprint of his Bible story is also a trilogy. How many of you remember? Anybody here saw the trilogy of Peter Jackson's The Lord of the Ring, Lords of the Ring? Yeah? Well, you'll know that the concept was based on Tolkien's epic book by the same name. It too is a story told both in the film and in the book in three parts. You have the Fellowship of the Ring, you've got the Two Towers, and you've got the Return of the King. It's a story, if you remember, it's full of adventure, of romance, explores the nature of both good and evil, and it's a trilogy. It's meant to be absorbed chronologically as well as in the entirety of its three parts. Now, I only saw the first part. Anyway, for me, the story, in a sense, left me cold. Why? Because it left me without any resolution. On the other hand, if I'd only seen the last episode, The Return of the King, the story would have had no context. So to have experienced the fullness of the tale, I would have needed to engage in all three films. And it's exactly the same. The Bible trilogy, it's the same way, needs to be absorbed in its entirety and in chronological order. In keeping with all great stories, God has written an amazing love story filled with romance and adventure, loads of mysterious twists and turns, and nail-biting suspense. The many books and chapters embedded within this great story, they continue to escalate to a powerful climax. It's the climax where the hero of the story, Jesus, carries out a, just in case you didn't know, carries out a supremely bold and daring mission to rescue. He carries it out to rescue his lover, who has been taken captive by this archetypal villain. At several junctions within God's story, it appears as though the hero is pretty well failing in his quest. In the end, his plan ultimately succeeds. After the quintessential villain is permanently defeated, the lovers are united in our favourite heartwarming scene. The couple ride off together into the sunset to live happily ever after. Now, this sounds a bit like one of the great medieval legends, but it's not a make-believe story. This one, I don't know if I remember, David Dickinson, the TV antiques expert, used to say, this is the real deal. Because the God of the Bible wrote this story. And it's undoubtedly the greatest love story ever told. And because all humans were all made in the image and the likeness of God, then every other hero's story, whenever it was conceived or imagined, is really just a smaller version of this all-encompassing story written by God. God's story is embedded in our very DNA. Whether we believe in him or not, God's complete story actually precedes time as we know it. And it's meant to be absorbed from beginning to end. Now, if we look at the next scripture, Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 11, we'll see that through the prophet Isaiah, the Bible expresses a similar sentiment, explaining in detail God's master plan unfolding through time. And this is God speaking to Isaiah. He says, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there's none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey," that happened to be Cyrus in his day, "from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I've planned, that will I do." Do you notice how this passage clearly depicts how God's story will unfold, page by page, exactly the way he wrote it? It also points to a certain fact that nothing, absolutely nothing, through time can stop the unfolding of this story. With this in mind, our Connecting the Dots series will demonstrate how the whole astounding story fits together into one purposeful and perfect account, unfolding in a hopefully thrilling trilogy of three very dramatic episodes. Have you ever wondered what God's purpose was in giving us this blueprint of his plan? Well, the answer is that he wants us to know his heart. He wants us to know his mind and where we fit into his plan. This is why God selected a range, total range of human beings to write the Bible under his inspiration, so we can each get connected. And we're currently racing towards the end of the story, after which we'll start afresh with a new beginning. And many people are going to be astounded, I believe, at who the Lord will use in the leading role to wrap up the story. We here are some of the first-hand witnesses experiencing all the harrowing events taking place across the globe, which we'll come to see are the culmination of foreshadowed events. So let's get now to what the core of the series is going to be. Week by week, we'll be examining seven prophetic foreshadow pictures with a common link. Together, these will create a comprehensive picture of Abraham's earthly family, the Jewish people, the Israelites. But Abraham's earthly family, in turn, is a foreshadow of God's plan to establish an eternal family, that God's unbreakable marriage relationship with Israel portrays how that relates to both current and end times. The first episode of this trilogy will establish God's marriage relationship with his chosen nation, God's faithful, and will one day fulfill all his promises to Israel. However, as a shadow of things to come, this leads into the second episode, in which Israel finds Christ, what's known as their messianic fulfillment. In the third and final episode, God's people, his family, and that includes us, becomes eternally completed in a place the Bible calls New Jerusalem. We'll put up on the screen now these seven foreshadows if we can. Okay. Just so you know what they are in their logical, progressive, and chronological order, let me stress, please remember, keep in mind that the chart shows that these are only a shadow of what's to come, and they have only symbolic value. The substance, again I say, the reality of what they foreshadow, we'll see belongs to Christ every time. Okay, here we have number one, the marriage. God has made an irrevocable promise to Abraham in the form resembling the lifelong commitment of a marriage. In short, the covenant is God's marriage to Israel. And then on to number two. There we have it, the family. If you have a marriage is usually followed by children or family, and that pertains to the nation of Israel. So we go on to number three, and we come to the family home. When you have a family, it's necessary to have a place to live. And this is why God gave Israel the promised land. Okay, number four, the family rules. When you're in a home, every good family has to have a set of rules just to ensure the health of that family. It needs a set of rules to live by. We certainly need it in our house, which is why God gave Israel the law. Number five is headed access to dad. Balancing the family rules, all healthy families need to have a foundational aspect of virtue. And where possible, not always possible, the children have to have access to dad, which comes through the temple foreshadow. Number six, headed family rest. Here, the Sabbath was the time set apart for family rest, for them to cease from their own work one day each week in order to follow the seventh day as an exclusive day belonging solely to God. Everyone needs a day of rest each week for the family to be together, to focus on what's really important. All healthy families need quality time away from the drudgery of everyday life. And number seven, good number, family gatherings. The feasts, here we have the feast. They themselves are a series of seven major annual family gatherings. They're set in a mix of spiritual and agrarian or farming type observances. And these build up a triumphant harvest celebration. And these feasts are probably going to be the most spectacular of all in foreshadowing Christ. Okay, did we put a chart up, John? We did, okay. Let's simplify all this by putting up on the screen now these same seven, here we've got it there already, these seven foreshadows in chart form. So you can see from there, notice how well the seven foreshadows fit and flow together to create a beautiful picture of an ethical family, one which God would establish through the lineage of a man called Abraham. Together, these linked events create a shadow of things to come. That's today's title. What some people... I've got the wrong page here. Missed a page out, I think. Yeah, there's a whole page missing. Some people would call a type. And every week we'll see how each of these seven shadows operates effectively on its own merit to deliver through three parts, past, present, and future, just hopefully one powerful message each week. But the real power, however, will be to see how God knits these seven foreshadows together to form an overall Jesus-centered, dots joined up, beautiful and brilliant foreshadow story. To make it all, I suppose, a bit clearer, let me give you a kind of sneak peek preview into just one example of how these weekly trilogy message will work. It's from the last of the foreshadows on the screen, number seven, the feasts, the annual family gatherings, which is probably the most spectacular of the seven, as I said, foreshadowing Christ examples. The message in it will be all about going home. The first part, that which was, in other words, the Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament part, is about gathering the crops. The second part, that which is, the New Testament part, is going to be about gathering the souls. That's the part we're in. And the third part of the same message, that which is to come, will be all about gathering the family. ooh, we all like to go home, don't we? And hopefully this will connect the dots of how God will gather and establish us, his eternal family, into the family home. I'm finishing now, but my hope is that our question soon during this series is going to be, well, we can see it now, but why isn't everybody aware of the profound kind of story of God through Christ creating this eternal family? Well, one of the ways we need to think of the answer to that is, imagine, anybody had these, use these 3D glasses? We have a pair for the TV at home, kind of cardboard signs, etc. To imagine you're wearing a pair of those 3D glasses designed to give extra depth of experience when we watch either special films on TV or at the cinema, wherever. Because God's story works somewhat in the same way, in that here too we need special glasses to help us to see, to help us to understand the true depth of the story. Imagine in God's trilogy, we've got the option of wearing one of three pairs of special reading glasses. And to recognize which pair is needed to see this trilogy as this, as the one seamless, purposeful story from beginning to end, let's imagine the choices are Jewish glasses, Christian glasses, or Jewish-Christian glasses. Okay, I'll try the Jewish ones. Whoa, God's story is alive. It's got real meaning. But I'm not sure I can fully understand and embrace the hopefully messianic future that unfolds during the second episode. And I can't easily comprehend how this first episode is finally completed during the third episode. Because majoring on the first episode alone, the Hebrew scriptures, I've no resolution. And you know, it's really easy to get stuck in the details of it. Okay, right. I'm going to read God's story now, wearing only the Christian glasses. Woo! I can appreciate the detail of this episode. And new details now of the first episode. Trouble is, I'm not thoroughly understanding the full impact of the first episode that has on the second and third episodes. And I think that's because I've no context. And so it's so easy to veer off track when I'm trying to comprehend the entire story. Okay, finally, let me try the special Jewish Christian glasses. These allow me to connect the dots between all three episodes. I'm beginning to see God's story now in brilliant three-dimensional wonder, and I'm starting to know exactly where I am in God's story as part of his bigger story. It's building my faith because I'm starting to understand my purpose, what I'm supposed to do, and as these foreshadows unfold, I can see now how God is in control of history, even when it looks like things are chaotic from our perspective. Furthermore, I believe that's going to help us, we believers, to each see how Christ in us is directing our lives, because he's the author. He's the author of our stories. So both God's story and ours will conclude exactly the way he wrote it. Fab. Okay, that's the trailer done. Thanks for patiently listening to the preview of this hopefully thrilling coming attraction to a church near you.